York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and glad you're here, too. Welcome to the program on this Friday, the 6th of July, 2018. My name is Tom Sullivan. I just literally, as the microphone was open, I saw this tweet going by about, it's Kirsten Nielsen, no wonder. She was thanking ICE and all that. So we got the immigration issue still going. We started the show with a Kids in the Cave. Have you noticed what they've done? They brought into the Kids in the Cave those foil blankets. So if you're not paying close attention, you see a whole bunch of kids wrapped in foil blankets. Are they the Kids in the Cave who are in deep jeopardy? Or are they the kids that are supposed to be reunited with their families? And by the way, the judge said you're supposed to do that by today. And the White House is saying, we're trying, but we may need some more time. So that story is moving along. Oh, yeah. There was another deadline today for the FBI to turn over some more documents. And it's just, I hear all these people going, oh, man, if they don't, they're going to get it. And I'm thinking, oh, no, they keep missing deadlines after deadlines after deadlines. So we got a lot of stories going on, a lot going on. But the trade issue, I just don't like trade wars. I suggested currency manipulation. San Antonio, Dave likes that. He remembered that from a week or two ago, doing some currency manipulation, but I just think you apply some of the rules. Somebody sent me a tweet about the fact that we should, here it is, Travis Blue said, why not put Chinese students in the U.S. on the bargaining table? I agree. Put it all up there. So, no, that's not being racist. No, that's not. It's just simply there's a lot of foreign students in this country, and you go, well, they're getting all the benefit of our public education, private education, doesn't matter, our education system. They go home and take that with them. So it's imports and exports, and we have been upside down, not only on dollars of what they buy versus what we buy, but it's also the intellectual properties. That probably bothers me more than anything else. The fact that they force U.S. companies, if they want to do business in China, because they got a billion people there, that's why people want to do business in China. There's a lot of customers. It's like, why do so many companies do business in California when it's such an anti-business environment? Because they've got 40 million people. That's why. So you got to do what you got to do to make the money. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Speaking of California, there's Vicki on the line. Hi, Vicki. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi. This sounds kind of crazy, but I was wondering why these big companies that are spending millions and millions on brand recognition with someone, why they don't take that money, buy some of these products that are going to be in jeopardy with the tariffs, and then turn around and sell them at a decent price to another American company who can make something of the product and recirculate it in a different way here.
Because when you go to the store and you see two products and they're very similar, in fact, maybe they're exactly the same, and one will cost you $25 and one will cost you $50, which one are you going to buy?
Well, why will it cost more if a large company that's making big profit, let's just say Nike, instead of using the money for LeBron to wear the tennis shoes, they right. take those millions of dollars, buy the soybeans or whatever it is that needs bought here that's going to have a problem, and turn around and sell it to another American company or however many here at the regular soybean price and just recirculate it in a different way within.
The point I'm trying to make, yeah, I am, but the problem is,
how does it raise the price, though?
Because a lot of products that we bring into this country are at a cheaper price because of cheaper labor, and all environmental laws, all kinds of things, that you can make a product a lot cheaper overseas than you can in the U.S. So,
okay, so that's our problem, is we just can't manufacture it here ourselves cheap enough.
Right. And
it's
so
not that we can't do it.
Okay,
so why can't we be doing it?
So we cut off the product, and we say you can't send it in, or we're going to charge you a lot more for every product you send in. And so what does that do? All right, well, maybe there's a tennis shoe company in Ohio that can make those shoes. But are they going to be able to make them for the price that you were able to get some kid in China to make them for? No. So,
but what if we're making it better? We don't need to buy two cheap ones. We can buy one more expensive one.
Well, talk to your neighbors.
Oh, who cares?
Talk to your neighbors, because Americans are, I don't want to call our fellow citizens cheap, but
we'd rather buy one decent thing that lasts longer than two cheap things that are going to end up the same way anyway.
And that's true with a lot of products. I understand that. You'll buy a pair of leather shoes rather than vinyl shoes because they'll last you 10 times longer. So, yes, but in many cases, it really isn't all that much different. China makes some excellent products. You take a look at some of the furniture that they make. It's absolutely amazing, and it's cheap. We are good shoppers, and that is why Walmart is the biggest retailer in the world, because they figured that out first and started buying a lot of their products from there and selling them for cheaper, and it made people in droves go to Walmart to buy their goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So
maybe we're just going to have to bite the bullet and pay more for one thing and go without something else.
Well, I've done many shows on that, Vicki. And I said, would you pay? And people call and say, why, of course I'll pay more for American made. And they don't. They say that. So this may be the cod liver oil that we are being forced to take, because, like I said, I actually support the president trying to get this trade imbalance at least narrowed. It's going to be where products from overseas are going to cost more. So maybe we will have a more competitive environment for American-made products versus those that come in from overseas.
What's scary is you go to the store and you can't find anything really that isn't made in China. It's mainly, I mean, you can find very few things that are anywhere else are American-made. I mean, you have no choice, essentially.
Yeah, I know. And so then you get into the manufacturing question here in the U.S., and a lot of people go, we don't have as many people working in manufacturing as we used to. That's true, but it's like the farmers of 1890. There were most people in our country were involved in farming. They had farms back in 1890, but we produce more food today with a fraction of the number of people that were in farming 150 years ago. And it's the same with manufacturing. We are manufacturing more goods in this country today than we were 5 years ago with much fewer people, because one of the callers to the program said that it's all done by computerized machinery, and it's done to perfection. And so you can start the machinery up, push the button, turn off the lights, and go home, and tomorrow morning you come in and all your products are made.
Wow.
That's where
all
we are.
Right. Well, I don't. Yeah, I'm worried. Do you think this is going to help us, this trade war, in the end? We're just going to have to tighten our belts and bite the bullet for a while, and then in the end, it's going to roll back around. That
I don't.
Going to have proved out to be.
I really don't
a good
know.
Thing?
I don't know. This is. I liken it to a military war, where you fire that first shot and whatever your plan was just went out the window. We don't know where wars go. We don't know what the opposite side's going to do. We have the upper hand. China is acting tough, but I don't think they really have much an ability. It's going to take some time. Just a question of how much time before China absolutely caves. And the problem is, and I've got a cut here somewhere from John Rutledge, every human being, but there's also something about the Chinese culture. You don't want to embarrass. You do not want to embarrass them or President Xi in particular. So you got to have a face-saving way out of this so that he makes it look like, you know, they did something great.
Well, hopefully he'll know. He has dealt with these people maybe and knows how to, you know, do that. I just hope it maybe brings us all together in some way that we can start working together maybe better or something. I don't know. I just feel like everything's so divisive.
It is, weird. But I don't think this is, if it stays at $34 billion, what this is just a little neighborhood dispute. But if the president ramps it up to $200 billion or everything that China sends, then you're going to watch the economy go through all kinds of contortions, because that's going to change a lot. But right now, I doubt a lot of people are going to notice the change in imported prices. I really do.
So just hurry up and buy everything you want right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Well.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your insight.
Thanks.
I've been thinking, why aren't we just working within more? I just couldn't understand it.
It's a company will only spend money on something they can make money on, and they can't do it from buying a company's products here that
except if they're putting that information out that they're doing that, won't people then be drawn to wanting to buy their product even more, because that will mean so much more to them than even so just seeing the shoes on someone?
Vicky, you sound like a lovely woman, but I got to tell you, people are. I don't mean to put Southwest Airlines down, because I like Southwest Airlines and they're great. But they created that giant airline from advertising, we're cheaper. We are the discount airline. They're not anymore. But that's how they grew, because people would just as soon sit in a sardine can if they can save $50 than pay more to sit in first class on another airline.
Yeah, because I never think of like Nike shoes and those shoes where they're spending 100 and something or $200 or $300 or $400 a pair as cheap. I feel like there's got to be huge profit in there.
Oh, there's a ton of profit. That's why Nike is such a giant. They make a lot of money. Vicky, I got to run, but I thank you for your call very much. We'll take a short break. 855-295-6600.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
What about the stock market? Stock market has it's been volatile of late. They don't like the talk of a trade war, but now that the trade war commenced last night at midnight, the market basically yawned. So it's the old buy the rumor, sell the news. And they were basically selling the rumor of a trade war coming, but the trade war comes along and they're fine. Because I think when you look at it and you go, if it's $34 billion, we can handle $34 billion. It's not that big of a deal. Jim Cramer over on CNBC says that let's do cut six here, Albert, says we shouldn't worry so much about the tariffs and the effects it has on the stock market.
Look, the market, the Dow was up 150 points when that when those notes came out, the minutes. It then dropped to only plus 80, because I know, because I'm writing my show, I said, oh, man, now I got to, like, readjust my show. That's mad money. And then it comes back, and it comes back a lot, because I think people felt that they're, first, Micron says that it's not getting hurt that much by the trade war. And then second, that I think a lot of people just kind of felt, well, wait a second, maybe the trade war is priced into the market. I am, I'm adamant, and a lot of people misinterpret what I said last night. I was saying the reason why people are so gloomy is this tens and twos.
Right, I was going to bring that up, too.
And because of tariffs. I'm not as gloomy, because I deal with the reality. The reality is that, you know,
the reality, the companies you talk to, and
yes,
the companies are good.
Yes, I mean, Marty Musi saying, listen, you know, okay, maybe people aren't making that much more, but they're creating things. I was going back and forth with the Linkster. truck makers struggle to keep up. I mean, you know, do you get a truck maker struggle to keep up when things are bad? No.
Yeah. So the economy's doing pretty well, and this is probably a good time if somebody to have this kind of dispute going on, if you're going to have it. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Ray in California. Hello, Ray.
Hello.
Ray?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound like you're in an echo chamber. Are you on a speaker or Bluetooth?
I was. Let me change it.
There we go.
Is that better?
Yeah, much better. Thank you.
Sure.
What's going on?
My thought was this. We seem to be getting hung up on the purpose of the math for the money. I don't think that we're missing the whole point that we're not trying to bankrupt China by any means. All we're trying to do is make them drop that tariff down to where we have a fair trade.
Yeah.
We would drop ours if that was necessary to have a fair trade.
Well, it's
been a long time since I've heard anybody tell me, you know, the best person to make that product or the best group to make that product is Chinese. I've never heard that. I'm sure you talked about the furniture before, and so there's obviously that, and there's probably a couple other things that I don't know about. But most of the time, it's an inferior product.
Yeah.
If this, you can't expect this to last for a very long time if the people got together, and every time that they turned a product over and it said made in China, you look at the one next to it, and it costs maybe 10, 12% more, maybe 15% more. Seldom is it going to be twice as much.
Right.
And you bought it that for a short period of time. China might get the message.
But it comes back to not about whether or not they make better products or we make better products, but if you look at, and Foxconn, there was the big hullabaloo. The president was there last week in Wisconsin, because Foxconn is breaking ground for their multi-billion-dollar factory, which is going to hire tens of thousands of people. They make a lot of technology that you and I use. I don't know if you have an Apple phone or a Samsung phone or whatever kind of phone you have, but a lot of those they're not made here. So you don't have a choice. I don't know what television you have in your home, but it's probably made not here. So there's some products where you can't do that comparison and say, I got product A and product B. Which one do I want to buy? Fine, I'll buy the one made in America. Love to. But they're not made here. So that's the problem.
Well, for a short period of time, I don't think we have to necessarily say made in America. But a lot of these products are made in other countries other than China, where they also have cheap labor. And we could, for a while, just stay away from China. You might be able to buy a product that's a little bit better, and you go to Vietnam, makes a lot of products.
I was going to say, I've noticed...
Mexico makes a lot of products.
I've noticed a lot of Vietnam tags on products more than I have China.
Yeah.
Vietnam's
and we're not in a war with them right now, so it wouldn't hurt the economy quite so much to buy that. Obviously, the best thing for America is to buy the American products, but we have other expenses that some of these countries don't have.
That's a good point.
So
yeah,
the price is probably going to be higher.
I like your point. Look around and see if this from somewhere, South Korea, buy that. Hey, Ray, thank you.
Prime time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
So it is the first Friday of the month, and we got our jobs report out this morning, and it was a good report. It was good as far as the headlines go. There are parts of it that I'm not. I keep pointing out, and I feel like I'm the only guy out here yelling about some of these things. But they were predicting that there would be 195,000 jobs payrolls added last month. It was better than that. It was 213,000 payrolls created in the month of June. So better than expected. That the household survey showed an increase of 102,000. So it was good no matter how you measure it. The average hourly earnings, however, 2.7%. I know I keep harping on this, but this is what it's all about. This is truly what it's about. Are more people putting more money into their pockets? Are they earning more money? And the answer is this 2.7% is a range that we have been in for a long time. So we got the tax cut. We got all the business about the economy is improving and everything else. And certainly optimism is way, way up. But the wages aren't going up. They're going up, but it's just, it was 72 cents last month. Average hourly earnings went up 72 cents, 2.7%, unchanged from the previous month. So guess what inflation is? They go wild guess as far as what you think inflation is. 2.7%. So if the cost of things are going up 2.7%, and the boss gave you a pay raise in the last year of 2.7%, then it doesn't feel like you got any more money because you don't after inflation. So that's the number, though. When you put all these other numbers together, we keep adding the payrolls, and more people are working. And the broader unemployment rate went up from 3.8% unemployment rate to 4%. That's not bad. That's actually good. It shows that more people are actually out there looking for a job when you get the unemployment rate going up in a situation like this. So we've got many more people working. We've got the labor participation rate went up to 62.9% of the country is working. And the numbers across the board, professional and business services up by 50,000, manufacturing up 36,000, construction up 13,000. The only problem was retail down 22,000 jobs. So it's a good report, but I am absolutely going nuts here because something has to give. Either companies are going to lay off people, and I don't see that on the horizon, or they're going to have to increase wages because they're not giving out real pay raises of 4, 5, 6%. They're giving pay raises out of 2.7. And that is how people will measure everything, by their wallet, by their pocketbook. So I hear all the optimism. I read the surveys about people are optimistic about the economy. I hear politicians say, "Oh, the economy is booming." Well, yes, more and more people are working, and lots of jobs have been created, but they're not paying a lot more. So that's what I'm waiting for. That is truly what I'm waiting for. And another, if you will, good sign is that the private sector survey done by ADP showed 177,000 employees in the private sector were added last month. But more important than that is that people are quitting, and that people are quitting their jobs in, I got to find the number here. I got too many numbers in front of me. Government data showing 3.4 million people quit their jobs in April, which means people feel pretty confident about the fact that they can go get another job. And they're leaving a job. And what they're leaving a job for is what most people usually leave a job for, is that somebody else in your industry, in your sector, in your business is paying more. And so therein comes, I'm here we are in July. This is the June report. I can't imagine we're going to have this 2-something percent wage increase much longer. It's got to start climbing simply because of the shortage of people. Everybody is crying for workers. Where did I put the number on? People are crying for truckers. And just 2,500 trucking jobs were added. 2,500. That's nothing. And the trucking companies are begging for employees, so I presume they're going to start paying more to get people. I mean, eventually the math wins, and the math will win in the favor of higher pay increases, but they're not there yet. Phone number is 855-295-6600. There's our friend Pat in Virginia. Hello, Pat.
Mr. Sullivan, how are you doing today?
Yes, thank you. You too. What you thinking?
I'll tell you what. You know, I have to say this. You know, I don't say this to patronize you. But at the end of the day, we need somebody like you, and we have to have folks like you, on national talk radio who can speak rationally about the economy. Most people that have the microphone that you have no concept of how the economy works. They just have no concept. And well, the average American out there, no, I really mean this, the average American is not astute when it comes to economics. They don't know nothing about it. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm going to say this and get off the air. I will never believe any positive number coming out of the Labor Department as long as Donald Trump has the capacity to put his thumb on the scale. I don't trust him.
Well, just, you know, Pat, that's always been I've heard that from people for many, many, many presidents. Especially when you get near an election and they got some kind of anomaly that comes out and they go, well, somebody's messing with the numbers. Maybe I'm naive, but I have worked with the people at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics are the biggest bunch of computer nerds, math nerds you ever wanted to talk to. Now, I will give you this. Part of the reporting is done by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The other part is done by the Census Bureau. And the Census Bureau, one of the first things that Barack Obama did was he moved the Census Bureau into the White House. And ever since then, people have complained about the president, whether it's Obama or Trump, has their thumb on the scale. I believe the numbers only from the standpoint of their trend lines, and 1 month can be an anomaly anyway. But I mean,
here's my point.
Okay.
Here's my point. I'll just make one comment in response to what you just said. I think Barack Obama, I don't want to go through the comparisons, but Barack Obama didn't have the temperament to cheat that Donald Trump has.
Oh, no, they're two different guys. No question about it. But they're politicians. I'll leave you with that because I got to hit my break. But, Pat, have a great weekend. Thank you for the call.
The real world and you meet here. You're listening to Tom Sullivan.
Jim Kelly and I have been going back and forth today on Twitter, but we agree. Hey, Jim. Jim says, we are punishing the government for not allowing our manufacturers to sell our products in their countries or even playing field. I'm right there with you. That's what tariffs are about. They're taxes, and therefore tariffs are and taxes are punishment. Yes, China's been trying to protect their industries, their citizens. Like the president says all the time, I don't blame China. I blame our past trade negotiators who gave away the farm. But as far as jobs go, this pay increase number is driving me nuts because it's got to come around sooner than later. Eventually, it's got to come around. Dealing with back to China, old friend of mine, Dr. John Rutledge, on Cut 15 there, Albert, says it will be very hard to negotiate with President Xi if Trump continues to disrespect him.
She is a different cat than Hu Jintao was. That's absolutely sure. But he's a different cat in a much less democratic and more autocratic way. He's a virtually emperor of China now. And so he is not going to be a guy that's easy to deal with in public if you embarrass him. And in terms of what has or hasn't worked, it's incorrect to say that because we have a trade deficit in physical goods, that somehow implies that there's a terrible thing happening. We sell goods, we sell services, and we sell assets, investments. All three of those things always balance. So the question is, what do you sell? This manufacturing focus of trade and goods leaves out all the other components of trade. It just doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, John's a really smart guy, but he's talking about, and he brings up the services and assets that also get added in, and it balances out. But there are some of those products that I agree that we need for national security. If we don't have our own steel-making production, and I think same with technology, we're going to be at the, basically the other countries can lord it over us. We need, in time of war, we need to be able to make critical products ourselves and not rely upon somebody else. Brad in Duncansville, Pennsylvania. Hello, Brad. Thank you for waiting. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet, sir.
Hey, the point I wanted to make, Tom, was with regard to when every time I turn on the news stations, it comes on. It's trade. The labeling it as a trade war, I really think is the media labeling it as a trade war is really causing some misinformation and manipulation of, you know, what's actually going on. I remember when Trump was, when he was debating before he ran for president and they were talking to him about trade. It's not a trade war. It's a trade regulation adjustment. It fits the narrative for the left that Trump is a warmonger and he's going to cause us all these problems. And it's just simply, it's the difference between being bullied or, you know, it's just us trying to get, like you said, fair, to get some things fair, you know, get some,
yeah.
That just really has me kind of irritated that,
well,
every news station you could turn on trade war.
It's been called when you put tariffs on other countries. It's been described as a trade war in previous years as well. So it's kind of a term that's been used for many, many tariff efforts made by our country or other countries. But politically, the political people that I listen to, I think, are giving Donald Trump some political credit. The left, you talk about that he's a warmonger and all that. They're not going to like him no matter what. But the right, uh-huh, I think, really likes that somebody is finally standing up to the number two economic center of the country, of the world, which is China. We're number one. They're number two. And I think a lot of people are going, it's time that we stand up to them. Nobody has in the past. And like I was saying just before I took your call, the steel industry is one, but I'm also thinking a lot of the technology industry. I'm glad Foxconn is moving their factory, their big factory, to Wisconsin, so that if we have to, we can make them. We can make iPhones ourselves if you want. So I think we should do what China does. China got a lot of our companies to move there so they could learn how to make products from American companies there. I think we should do the same.
I did see, there is a company, a steel company in Ohio I saw on the news weeks ago that was hiring and doing real well. Trump did accomplish some stuff with steel. I forget the details of it.
True.
Yeah.
U.S. Steel's opened another plant. There's a number of steel, there's not that many, but a number of steel companies that are starting to expand and hire. Yes.
Yeah. That's great to see. Those manufacturers, you were talking about jobs, you know, it's so related to jobs because, they want to keep increasing minimum wage. Look at California, Seattle, and all the different states. And, you know, the minimum wage jobs were never meant to support families. It was, you know, back in the training wage. The old days, yeah, we lost our manufacturing jobs, you know, throughout the early 1900s, you know, up until, you know, the 70s. Those were jobs that supported your middle class families, and all of those jobs have gone. If we could get some breathing room and give our American companies some breathing room and let them succeed, I think it would really, instead of making minimum wage $17 an hour, you know, let's get the good jobs back, like you were talking about.
I agree.
To help.
But the inflation. The math has got to finally, something's got to give, and I think wage hikes are coming. I really do. Better than the 2.7% that's driving me crazy, but I got to get out, start the weekend, and I hope you have a good weekend too. But Brad, thank you for the call very much. Appreciate it. We got the full comment line band working today. We gave them a pay raise of 2.7%. Market up, the Dow was up 99 points at 24,456. The S&P up 23, the NASDAQ up 101. Price of oil, $73, and gold at $1,255. This caller thinks that I got my facts wrong.
You just chewed some kid up because he said the government should subsidize private sector. But they did that, man, with Chevy and Ford, Fannie Mae. The government saves whoever they want to save. You should check yourself, Tom.
I don't like it. You like the government doing? They didn't do Ford. Ford got $0. But I'll grant you on General Motors, and it still ticks me off. This caller thinks Americans are acting like babies.
Trump is doing a good thing. How about if America just sucks it up? And when you're walking down your
President
aisle in
Trump
Walmart,
on Tuesday took
bypass
to Twitter and
the Chinese crap and buy American. How about that?
If you can find it, maybe someday. But we'll see where this whole thing goes. It's interesting to watch. Hey, it's Friday. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll see you next week.